Today's Shi'ez Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Nun Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Klal Amar Abishol. At the end of our Mishnah, we learned that Abishol taught us a rule. Kol Shani Zakei B'Mirasai. Anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, Rishayni L'Hachshav Alav. That is a situation where I could stand by the border of my Tchum on Shabbos 4. Ask the Gemara, Abishol Ahai, on which din in the Mishnah did Abishol say this din? In other words, Abishol taught us a rule that on Shabbos, where he's coming to teach us that not only the cases that were mentioned in our Mishnah, other cases as well, Abishol says, the halach is, you're allowed to do something. Ilei ma'resha, if we're going to say that he's referring to the resha of the Mishnah, where the Tana Kama said that it's osur, the Tana Kama said that one may not stand by the border to hire workers, because since, as we learned yesterday, one may not hire workers on Shabbos, the halach is you can't stand at the border to hire such workers, the border of your tchum. If that's the case, so, and he's trying to teach us a din of Isser, so Rabbi Abishol should have used different words, that the Tanakham says, Eimachshikim ala tchum, that you're not staying by the border, Liska Palim, to hire worker, Lavi Peris. And Abaya should have said, Kol Shani Zakeh Bamirosoi, Rishani Mirasai. If he's not coming to tell us an Isser, he should have said it differently, that anything that I'm allowed to say, I'm allowed to stand by the border. If he should have said, whatever I can't say, I can't stand by the border. In other words, Abishol is coming to summarize what we learned in the Mishnah. He wants to teach us more halachas. Our Mishnah taught two halachas. One was l'isser, and one was l'heter. The l'isser was that if I can't do it, I can't stand by the border. And the heter was that if I could do it, I could stand by the border as well. So now, Abishol is coming to summarize these halachas. So if the purpose of Abishol is coming to teach us that what you're not allowed to do, so then Abishol should have said just the opposite. Kol she'eni zakeh b'merosoi, anything that I may not say, eni v'shoi b'cheshech secha, I may not stand there. Elo, how do we have to understand? There's going on the sefer. Then the sefer, the Mishnah we learned, machshechu lishmor, that you're allowed to stand by the border to get your, to watch the peiris, because watching peiris on Shabbos is mutter, and then the Mishnah says, well, maybe Paris biyodai, and then you can bring those Paris that you went to watch. So if that's what Abishol is coming to focus on, so then he should have said, Kol Shani Zakeh B'Chashich Sochai, if I'm allowed to stand there, Rishon Nebim Rosami Boilei. He should have said, since I could stand there to do so, I could tell somebody else to do so as well. Answers the Gemara, Loilam HaSeifakai. Abishol is coming to teach us, coming to reflect on the heter that we learned in the Mishnah. But Abishol is actually coming to speak about a different din, which isn't mentioned in the Mishnah, but as the Rishonim, as Rashi explains, it's self-evident that this halacha is the din based on the halachas that we've learned in the Mishnah. Dom Rav Yudah Mishmul, Rav Yudah says in the name of Shmuel, Mutal Adam Laim Lechaveri, somebody could tell someone else, Shmarli Paris Tchumach, please watch Paris, that my Paris, that are in your Tchum Shabbos, so it's an area where you may walk, Vani Eshmelcha Paris Shabbatchumi, and I will watch your Paris, which are in my Tchum Shabbos. And as I saw the Levushi Surad explains, the reason Shmuel articulated this halacha specifically this way is to teach us that this is not considered schar Shabbos. It's not considered as if I'm hiring a worker on Shabbos. Because, as the Yeshuas Yaakov explains, because it's not really that I'm hiring him, we're just doing each other a favor. And Shmuel, explains the Ritva, understood from what we learned in the Mishnah that this is indeed the halacha, to which Abishol, so now that Abishol established that this is the halacha, so now Abishol says the following. So Abishol tells the Tanakama, Milay mid this, certainly you would agree, the Muta Adam Laim Lechaveri, that somebody could tell someone else, Shmali perish betchumach, Vani Eshmucha perish betchumi. You're going to agree that I could say that to my colleague, and he could say that to my colleague. Ema, and if that's indeed the halacha, then you should have said, Koshan Izaki Bamirosoi, anything that I could say, since the halacha is that I could ask somebody else to do this on my behalf, therefore, Rishayani Lachshech, I could also stand there and ask him to stand by the border of my tchum to do this watching, that I should be able to get there right on Motzei Shabbos. And as the Rashba explains, why indeed may I ask my friend to do something that I may not do myself? Says the Rashba, since to my friend there's nothing wrong in doing what I'm asking for, it's not a violation of Mimtza Cheftzecha V'David Dover. The Rashba takes this Gemara to use for a very important halacha. The Rashba says there are people who make Shabbos early, and there are other people who don't make Shabbos early. And the question is, if I made Shabbos early, could I ask somebody else who didn't make Shabbos early to do something on my behalf? And he says that absolutely, just like I'm allowed to ask somebody else to watch my peiros, which are in his tchum, because I'm not asking him to do anything wrong, so too is the halacha in our Gemara, says the Rashba. I'm allowed to ask somebody to do something on my behalf, even though for me it's already Shabbos. If for him it's not Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask him to do it. Interestingly, this halacha is only the Paiskin wanted to differentiate between another Jew and an Akum. Another Jew has his own din of Shmira Shabbos, and since he has his own din of Shmira Shabbos, so if it's not Shabbos yet for him, he's allowed to do Malacha. But if I ask an Akum to do Malacha on my part, I'm making him to my Shliach. And since I'm making him my Shliach, it may be very different. I'm not allowed to make a Shliach to do something that I'm not allowed to do myself. The Shulchan Aruch Rav asks that doesn't really understand the Rashba's Raya. He says, as we learned in our previous shir, the reason maybe I can ask somebody to watch my peiros, which were outside my tchum, because theoretically, as we explained in our previous shir, there is a way that I could get there if there were huts all the way. But there's no way that I could ever do melacha after I was mekabel Shabbos. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says the comparison is not really great. But the Taz explains, the fact that Shmuel taught us this din, and didn't just rely on what we learned yesterday, that since I could technically do it, anything that I could technically do, there is no Isser. It's obvious that Shmuel is coming to teach us that not only that, even without the heter of Bergman, you have this heter. So I saw that the Paiskim discussed this halacha. They discussed this halacha about asking somebody to do melacha on my behalf when I can't do it myself. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav in the Kuntres Achron asks, the why isn't that person who I'm asking to do something on my behalf considered my shliach? And then we come into the concept of ein shliach ledvar veira. So the Beis Meir says, melach on Shabbos is not to be viewed as all other averis. He says, a beautiful explanation. There's really nothing inherently wrong with the melacha that's done on Shabbos. What's wrong with it is that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do melacha. So for this individual, it's not melacha, because for him, it's not Shabbos. So the act on itself, there's nothing wrong with. Whereas if I ask somebody to do something which is inherently wrong, which involves an avera, that is very different. And that's why, even though in all other cases, I may not really ask somebody to do something which I myself may not do, here it's different, because it's not that the act is inherently wrong, it's only because it's Shabbos. And if it's not Shabbos for him, there's no issue. So Abishol said, what klal? So ask the Gemara, whenever the Mishnah teaches us a klal, it's coming to teach us something. What's he coming to add? Answers the Gemara, Lasuy Hadatan Rabbanan. So the way many Rishonim learn the Gemara, the Meiri learns the Gemara, is that we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that even though you're not allowed to stand by your border of your tchum, if the purpose of you standing by the border of your tchum is to do an Aveira, if to do something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but if it's a tzarech mitzvah, you're allowed to do so. Suggests the Meiri that that is the opinion of Abishol. But the Tanakhama is much more steadfast in his rule. And the Tanakhama holds, if you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, even if it's Litzarech Mitzvah, you're not allowed to stand by the Tchum. And that, says the Gemara, is what the Abishol is saying to the Tanakhama. You're not allowed to stand by the Tchum to bring your animal into the Tchum on Shabbos. But if your animal is standing outside the tchum, you could call it by itself and comes, because you haven't done anything wrong. And as the Mishnah Brewer explains, that even though an animal has a tchum, if I didn't directly bring the animal outside, from outside the tchum and bring it in the tchum, there is no issur for me even to cause it to come. Continues Abishol, Klal Amishol, Kol Shani Zaka B'Marasoi, anything that I'm allowed to say, Rishani Lach Shechloch, I'm allowed to stand by the Tchum to do. And Mechashchem, and then he continues, O Mechash L'Fakech Aliska Kal, I'm allowed to stand by the Tchum to take care of a Kal's needs, Valiske Meso for a Mace needs, Lohavi Loi Oren Tachrichem, to bring him an Oren Tachrichem. V'amrim Loi, and we're allowed to tell a Shliach on Shabbos, Leich L'Makam Ploini, you're allowed to go after Shabbos to a place which is outside the tchum to get whatever is needed for a kal or a mace. Vim lay matzosa, and you could tell him, if you can't find it in that place, lay matzosa makaplani, havei makaplani, go elsewhere. Lay matzosa b'mana, if you can't find it for a certain price, tavi b'masayim, bring it for more. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda disagrees, and he holds, that even though we're allowed to ask a shliach on Shabbos to do something which is a shlich l'dvar mitzvah, but we're not allowed to, says Rabbi Yossi, ever mention money. So it seems, explains the Meiri, that the Tanakhama will not agree with this halacha, and the Klal Omar Abishol at the Mishnah is coming to teach us, as we're about to learn the next words of the in the Mishnah, that he holds you're allowed to say it. Says the Mishnah, Machshichim al tchum, we're allowed to stand by the tchum on Shabbos, lefakeach aliske kala, to be able to go matzoi Shabbos to get right away what we need for a kala, or aliske meis lahaviloi arm tachrichim, to bring him the arm tachrichim that we need to be able to bury him right after Shabbos. In those days, it was very common by a levaya they would bring flutes. So nachri shevi chalilim b'Shabbos, if a nachri brought flute specifically for Jewish levaya on Shabbos, Lo Yisbet Ben Yisrael, Chazal said that you should never use those flutes by the levaya of a Jew, because you're not allowed to know from what Akum did for us on Shabbos. Elm came, Bama Mokum Karav, unless they came from a Mokum Karav. So there's a very big machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the Mishnah. The Rashi's opinion is that if the flutes were brought for a Jew's funeral on Shabbos, we may never use those flutes ever for a Jewish Shlavaya. Tosfos, the Ramban, disagree. And they say that the halacha here is only b'chdei shiyasa. We have to wait Matzoi Shabbos, b'chdei shiyasa, the amount of time it took to bring the flutes on Shabbos, not to benefit from Chil Shabbos. But once that time passes, the halacha is you could use those flutes. But the Mishnah continued saying that if the flutes came from a makom karev, we could be lenient. So there's a number of explanations. Some say is because it didn't involve any Chil Shabbos. Another pshat is that, and therefore, since there was no Chil Shabbos involved, because it came from a makom karev, you could use those flutes on Matzoi Shabbos. That's the way the Ramban seems to learn. Other Rishonim say, and this is consistent with the opinion that we just quoted from Tosfos, that as long as you wait for a Matzoi Shabbos, b'chdei shiyasa, the amount of time it took to do this malacha, you could use those flutes. So therefore, says the Mishnah, since the flutes came from a makom karev, it came from a nearby place, it didn't take a lot of time for those flutes to come. So essentially Matzoi Shabbos, you could right away use those flutes for the Levaya. However, says the Mishnah, also like Oren, if the Nachra made an Oren, or Chafer like Kever, or they dug a grave, you covered by Yisrael, you could bury a Jew immediately after Shabbos. However, Vim B'Shvil Yisrael, if they were done specifically, and we know it was done, we'll speak about this in the Gemara in a moment, then lo yikav by Olamas. Here everybody agrees that the grave that was dug specifically for Jew on Shabbos by the Nachri, here there's no din of Chdei Shiyasa. Here everybody agrees that we have to be more strict, because here we have to be concerned that since a Jew is anxious to bury his Nifter, if we're going to allow him to use this kever, they may do this in the future, asking Akum to dig kvarim on Shabbos. And therefore, to show that that's usur, the halacha teaches us that we never could use that kever on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, if it came from makom karev, we could be more lenient. But the question is, what does that mean? Rav Amar makom karev mamish. In order to apply this leniency, we have to know for sure that it came from a makom karev. If we don't know that it came from a makom karev, we have to be machmer. And why do we have to be machmer? Isn't this a derabbanan? And we have a rule throughout Shas that sofek derabbanan lekula. Explain the Rishonim, the Ramban, that since this is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, after Shabbos we'll be able to use it without any question. So the halacha is that whatever we have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, we don't rely on saying Safek Durabanan Lakula. Shmuel Amar Cheshinen. Shmuel is lenient and says Cheshinen Shem Chutzl Chutzl Amlanu. Maybe it was right outside the wall and it was within the Tchum. It's interesting. Usually when the Gemara uses the word Cheshinen, it means a Chumra. Here, the Gemara is using the word Cheshinen and it's a Kula that we could say that it came from nearby and be lenient. Says the Gemara, Deke Kemasesen Kivasei de Shmuel. If we look at our Mishnah, it seems that Shmuel's position is correct. The Ktani we learned in our Mishnah, Oslo Oren, V'chafalei Kever, if they made an Oren or they made a grave, you're covered by Yisrael. Alma, maybe, but why should we not be concerned that maybe they were done specifically for the Jew? What do we see from our Mishnah? Alma Mesveke Shari, as long as we don't know that it was done for a Jew, we could be lenient. Hachanami, here too, the halacha is misveika. If we have a suffix, we could be lenient. On the other hand, says the Gemara, B'tanya Kavasei the Rav. There's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav. The brisa says, Isha Yisrael v'nachem darim bo, if you have a city where Jews and non-Jews live there, V'yisba berachas ha-machatzas, and b'Shabbos, there's a bathhouse that's open on Shabbos. So the halacha is, Im roiv in nachrim, if most of the city is inhabited by non-Jews, the Jew could go into that bathhouse immediately, because we could assume that the bathhouse that was heated, which is of course a malach on Shabbos, was done l'tzayrach akam. Im roiv Yisrael, however, if most of the city are Jews. Yantam, we need to wait. Akshay Chamun, we have to wait until the time it would take to heat up the bathhouse. Mechza, mechza. If the city is 50% Jewish, 50% non-Jewish, we have to be machmer. Akadei shiucham chamun. So we see from here that when there's a suffix, we could be lenient. We have to be machmer and not be allowed to use the mikveh. Rav Yehuda Omer, Bambatik Tana, when there's a small bathhouse, Im yesh bei rishus, if there's a government official, then roichetz bei miyad. Then the halacha is, the Jews could go to that bathhouse immediately in Motzei Shabbos. Ask them, Amai rishus, what does that mean? Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Yitzchak Bereid, Rav Yehuda, Im yesh bei odom choshev, if in the city there's an odom choshev, Sheesh lo yasodom, sor avodom, that owns 10 slaves, that could heat up for him 10 jugs of water at one time, and they could fill up a batik tana, and that could heat up the water. We could say that the water that got heated up in that small bathhouse was certainly heated up on behalf of the Jew, of behalf of the non-Jew, and therefore the Jews could go into that bathhouse immediately, miyad and Matzah Shabbos. But we learned, also like Aron v'chaf le'kever, but we learned at the Mishnah, that even though, certainly according to Tosfos, and certainly in most cases in Halacha, if a Malacha was done on Shabbos, we wait, b'chdei shiyasa, the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, taught us that if we know that this was dug specifically for Jews, then we can never use that grave. We can never use those that aren on behalf of Jews. Amai, ask them, why are we being so machmer? Hachanami, why don't we say here, as we say in other areas of halacha, the yamta b'chdei shiyasa? Answers the Gemara, Amu ula, b'aymed besratya. The kever is standing in a place where many people travel there. And since, why, when we don't know, why are we allowed to use the kever when we don't know? It says the Gemara, standing in a public area, Jews don't get typically buried in public areas. Tanach kever, Aron Mayikol Meima, why shouldn't we be concerned that the Aron was made for a Jew? Answers the Gemara, Amravua b'mutal al kivroi, where the Aron is next to the kever. And since the kever is in a Rishus Rabbim, and as we just explained, if the kever is in a Rishus Rabbim, we need not be concerned that it was made specifically for Jews. So too, if the Aron is right next to that kever, we need not be concerned that that Aron was made for Jews. Says the Mishnah Oysen, called Tzorche Emes. We're allowed to do different things on behalf of a person who passed away on Shabbos. Sochen, we could smear him with oil. Or Medichon Oysoi, we could wash him with water. Or Vachla Yozes by Aver. However, we have to be very careful not to move any of the limbs of his body, because as we've learned, and we will learn, a dead person is muksa. Shaimtum is kar mitachtov. We're allowed to pull the pillow and the blanket out from under him. We don't want the mace to get too warm, because that could cause decomposing. Umatila yisrael lachol. We could put him on the sand. Bishvil shiyamtim. So we should wait till we do the kvura after Matzoi Shabbos, but he shouldn't decompose. Koshnis Alechi continues the Mishnah with things that we're allowed to do. We could bind up his jaw. Lo shiyala, not that the purpose is that we want that the jaw should move up. El shlo Yosef, we want to prevent it from drooping down anymore. Became Koresh in Nishbara, and the same thing happens if there's a beam in the house that broke. We could support it with a bench or with the side pieces of a bed. Not that we want to pick up that beam, because by picking up the beam, there would be an Isser or Boina. But all we're trying to do is, like Tosef, it shouldn't fall any more down. And if that's our entire purpose, it's mutter. The Miri points out that we learned early in the Masechta a concern of Bittel Kli Meichanai. So how can we put the beam there? Isn't that considered Bittel Kli Meichanai? Says the Mi'iri that the case here is that it was put in a way that it would be easily taken out. And since it could easily be taken out, there is no problem of bittul kili mechachana. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that you're allowed to smear a mace with oil on Shabbos? V'amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmul, Masav Talmid Shramaya, Shenichnas Achro LeBeis HaMerchetz, the Talmud of Rameya entered the Beis HaMerchetz after him, Bikish Ladich Karka, he wanted to wash the floor of the bathhouse with water for covet of his Rebbe. Amaloi, so Rameya told him, Eimadichin, you're not allowed to wash the floor on Shabbos. Loss of karka, he wanted to smear the floor of the merchatz with oil. Amalai ain't sochen. So we see that you're not allowed to smear with oil. So how could Amishna say that you're allowed to? Answers the Gemara, karka bekarka michlefa, mace bekarka le michlefa. As we've learned so many times in Amasechta, in their world, the floors were made out of earth. And when the floors are made out of earth, we need to be concerned that lejvui gumis, they're going to flatten the ground. So Chazal said, you're never allowed to do anything to the floor of the ground, not use water, not use oil. However, a mace is not, and even if the floor, which as the Mefarshim explained, of the bathhouse was not made out of earth, the floor of the bathhouse was made out of tiles. Chazal said, still, we never want you to wash the floor because you may come when the earth, the floor is a dirt floor, lajvui gumas. But that's only by the floor of an area. When we're talking about a mace, nobody's going to confuse a mace with a floor. And therefore, we could be more lenient with a mace. So the Mishnah said, kol, oisin kol tzorchi mace. Ask the Markola suyamai, what is taught with that word kol? Answers the Gemara, the suya hodotana rabbonon. What we learned in a brice of a vein clay maker, we're allowed to bring kalim that are cool to the touch, the klimatchas metal kalim, or menichen, and we put it al kresoi on the stomach of the mace, kaleishoi tefuach, that it shouldn't swell up and chas v'shalom even burst. Or paikikin nekovav, we could close up the nostrils of a mace, and the mouth of a mace, kaleishoi tekonis ben ruach, to avoid ear coming into the body of the mace, which again could cause decomposing. Says the Gemara. Here we're learning that a mace decomposes. So says the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech, Vav Shlomo Am B'Chachmosoi, Shlomo HaMelech in Kehelet says, Ad Shlo Yoroseik Chevel HaKesef, V'Toretz Gulos HaZov, V'Sishosh V'Gad Al Mabur, V'Noretz HaGalgal Al Abor. So this entire Pasuk is explained not about a keli, it's talking about a human being. And Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that we have to remember that there's a Hashem in the world and to act appropriately before the time comes that we leave the world. Because what happens when somebody passes away? That refers to the spinal cord that breaks after the person passes away. The Torah school says of Za'ama, that's the Aver. The Sishova Kad Hamabo Za'akeris, the stomach, as we just said, could burst. The Naratz HaGelgal Alabar Za'perish, the waste that's in a person's body. The Kenu Oimer, how do we know that that refers to the waste? Because the Pasuk says, the Zeresi Perish Al Penechem Perish Chageichem. Omer of Hunav Amrele, Omer of Ruvaraga. Who does this refer to? It refers to people who spend their lives not learning Torah. Their entire life is one big chagim. They just spend their lives partying. After 3 days after a person passes away, his stomach bursts, and the waste that was in his body goes on his face. And it tells him, take away what you did, what you were busy spending your life eating and drinking. And of course the Mashal says, it's not to mean that a person is not supposed to eat and drink. What the Gemara says means to say is, that a person is supposed to eat and drink just for avodas Hashem. But he's not supposed to eat and drink just for the purpose of enjoying life. Din Yaakov says that we learn from this Gemara that the first 3 days after a person passes away, his guf, the neshama and the guf are still somewhat connected. And that's why the Gemara points out it only happens after 3 days. So the Sefer Taras Chesed says that now we could understand in benching, we say the fourth bracha, the bracha v'atoyva meitiv, and we learned in the Gemara in Masechta Brachos that when did they establish the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon? They established it al haruge beter. The haruge beter, when they were nitnu l'kfura, they were ultimately given to kfura. So the Taras Chesed asks, of course, it's something that we have to be thankful to Hashem that the haruge beter were given to kfura. But why is the place to remember and thank Hashem specifically a milah benching? So he says, because our Gemara just taught us the connection between eating and when a person passes away. And as we saw the Mashal explain, and the Sefer Divrei Torah from the Michzal Ozer explains this at great length, depending on the way you ate and why you ate and how you ate is going to have a very big influence on what's going to happen with the waste that's in your body after you pass away. So the haruge beter hu tzadikim, when we eat, we have to remember that. And therefore, the ptira and what happens after a person passes away is very much mentioned in Birchas Hamazon. Says the Mishnah, we may not close the eyes of a niftar on Shabbos, v'loy b'chol, nor even during the weekday may we do so at the moment of death, in Yetzias HaNefesh, because we may think that he's dead, but he's really not dead, and we're causing him to die by doing this. And says the Mishnah, V'amatzam Yetzias HaNefesh, and somebody who's quick to do so, Harezei Shoyfech Damim, is considered as if he chas v'shalom murdered the person. Although we're saying that you shouldn't be quick to close the eyes of a nifter, I did see that the Sefer Sharmat Shiram Balacha says that after the death of this person is established, there is a point that the son of the nifter should be the one to close his eyes. Tan Rabbanan, so says the Gemara, that we learned in a Braisa, Hama'atzma Yimitzias HaNefesh, somebody who does close the eyes of a person who's by Yitzias HaNefesh, Hareza Shoyfech Damim, he's considered like a murderer. Just like there's a candle that's flickering and about to go out, if someone puts his finger on it, it will immediately miyat kofsa. Here too, since the person is in a very precarious situation, you have to be very careful not to do anything to cause him to die. Tanya, Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Haroitza Shiatzma Einav Shemes, we're not allowed to close the eyes of the Mason Shabbos, we just learned. What should you do if you want to cause the eyes to close, but you may not do so on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Neufach lo yayin b'chaytmai, blow some wine into his nostrils, v'noisin shemen b'risei einof, and put oil between his eyes, v'oichas b'shnei gudlei raglov, and hold on to the two thumbs of his feet, and behemoth matzim aleim, and the eyes will close without you actually physically closing them. Tanya of Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Tinek ben Yoimai, if you have a child who's even just 1 day old, Mechal Lov Shabbos. Well, Mechal Shabbos, if there's a question of Sakonis Nefashis. David Melch Yisrael Shemes, but David Melch that passed away, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, and that Flamid, we may not even move him, he's considered a mess. And the Ramban says the lesson of this Gemara is to teach us the value of life. A child who just was born, we don't know what's going to be with this child. For him, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. And then we have the great David HaMelech who passes away, and we may not be Mechal Shabbos. And explains the Gemara why. Tinek ben yom Mechal Lov Shabbos. Omer Torah, because the Torah says, Chalal alav Shabbos achas, b'mechalal one Shabbos, k'day shish m'shabbos harbe. David Melch Yisrael died, we don't mechal Shabbos for him, because we know, kimit shemeis Adam, once a person passes away, bottle mina mitzvahs. He no longer could do any mitzvahs. Ani dam Rabbi Yochanan, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. But meisim chavshi. Kima shemeis adam, as soon as a person passes away, chal nasa chavshi mina mitzvahs, he no longer could do mitzvahs. However, it's very important that the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Chav Tes, the very maskal Ella. And I saw a tshuva for a Moshe Zatzal and the Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chel Gimel Samach Samach Tes that says that even though our Gemara says that Chalal of Shabbos Achas Kedei Shiyishma Shabbos Harbe doesn't mean that that's the reason only. Because if that were the only reason, let's say we have a person who's in a very bad situation, and he's in a situation that he won't make it to next Shabbos. So our Gemara says, Chalalei Olav Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishma Shabbos Harbe. This person will not be an individual who's Shoyma Shabbos Harbe. He's not going to make it to next week. Still with Mechal Shabbos. And the Bi'ah Locha and Ramosh explain, because as the Gemara Masechta Yuma explains, the real reason why we're allowed to do so is because the Chai Behem. The Torah says that the Torah was given V'chai behem v'lo shiyomus behem. And because v'chai behem takes precedent over everything else, that's why the life of a Jew, that even if he's not going to be able to do any mitzvahs, is so valuable. V'chai behem, just his actual life, is so valuable that we'll let it be mechal Shabbos, even if he'll never be able to do a mitzvah again. Why do we have to learn Nasa chavshim in a mitzvah, asked the Marsha. Of course, a person who's not alive can't do mitzvahs. So says the Marsha that technically we're allowed to bury a mace in shatness because he doesn't have an issur of shatness. The only reason we wouldn't do so because he's going to get off a tchias ha-mesim, and when he gets off a tchias ha-mesim, we don't want him to be wearing shatness. So here we're learning how we're not allowed to cause anybody to pass away. Ramosha and Tshuva, in the Igros Moshe, Choshe Mishpat Chelik Bei Simen Ein Gimel, teaches us that of course we're not allowed to give a very ill person medicine that will cause him to pass away, because as we're learning, every moment of life is valuable, and we're not allowed to do anything to cause that life to go out 1 second earlier. On the other hand, Ramosha discusses, what about giving medicines to relieve his pain? But those medicines may cause that he should die sooner. That's a very difficult issue that we have to discuss. For the same point, Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, what's the halacha that if a person donated his organs for after he passed away for transplant, and in order to be able to harvest them properly, they do certain tests on him as he's leaving the world to determine different factors about these organs. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, once the person falls into the category of gesisa, so as we learn in our Gemara, someone who's a gesis will not allowed to touch for under any circumstances. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Azar Oymer, Tinik ben Yoymer, Chai, if you have a tinnik that's 1 day old and he's alive, ain't tzarich l'shamer min acholdim min achbarim. We don't have to watch him from weasels and from mice. Aval oig melech haboshen, if you have egg melech haboshen that who is huge, once he dies, tzarich l'shamer min acholdim min achbarim. He has to be watched. Shenemar u'marachem v'chitchem. Kol zman she'adam chai, as long as a person is alive, and mosay mutelos al abrius, then all living things are scared of him. However, kimin shemes, the moment he passes away, botle masoi, that fear goes away. Amra papa, naktinon, we have a mesoira, that aria betrayed loy nofel, that on two people, a lion won't attack. So the question is, we just said that, because it says, mayrachem, loshen rabim. So the question is, we just saw that they're scared of even one person. And now we're saying you have to have two people. So the Mefarshim explain that when you have one person, unless the animal could clearly discern that it's a person, the animal won't be scared. But when it's two people, then even if the animal can't perfectly discern that it's two people, then the animal will not attack. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zitzal in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov has a very different pshat al pidrush. He says on one person, that means like this: when it's trei, when a person devotes, we know every human being is made out of the guf and the nefesh. When there's a guf and a nefesh that are connected, an avodas Hashem, such a person, the animal won't attack. But if he's alone, that means he doesn't connect his guf and his nefesh, he needs to be concerned about what could happen to him. Ask the Gemara, but kachazina da nafel, we'd see that lions even attack two people. Answers the Gemara, who could the Rami bar Abba? Damar Rami bar Chaba, en chaya shlatus ba'adam, an animal will not attack a human being, achin nidme loike behema, until the person acts like an animal. Shnema adam bikaba nimsh ba'yovel, nimshul ka behemas nidmu. And as the Mashah explains, nimshul, when does the animal have memshala? When does the animal have power over the person? Nimshul ka behemas, when he is like a behema nidmu, when he acts behemus nidmu, when they act like behemus, the nimshul, the animal has power over him. Amar Rav Chanina, also lishim b'bayis yichidi. One may not sleep in a house by himself. The kol hayoshen b'bayis yichidi. And if you do sleep in a house by yourself, och salilis, you need to be concerned. So there are many different halachas. The Mashah says, and I saw the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky also used to tell people this, that this is only if you're sleeping in a house that's a lone house. But if there are houses around where you're sleeping, you have nothing to worry about. The Magen Avraham says that it means that you're not allowed to be in a room by yourself. The Daki Tshuva disagrees, and he brings down many shitas in Simin Kuf Tezayin Sivkot and Samach Vav, that as long as there are other people in the house, then we have nothing to worry about. He also, Daki Tshuva also quotes the Eish Lavrom, who says that if there's a mezuzah on the door, then you have nothing to worry about. If there's a candle or light in the room, or the moon is shining into the room, there's nothing to worry about. And the Sharetzion says that if the room that you're sleeping in, the door is not locked, even if it's closed, as long as it's not locked, you have nothing to worry about. And again, as I said, if it's a room that's light, certainly there's nothing to worry about. The Gra says that in a sukkah, you're allowed to sleep alone because Shema Mitzvah, somebody who's doing a mitzvah, he's sleeping in the sukkah, has nothing to worry about. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, asay achat ha-moitzei, do tzedaka as soon as you have the opportunity. As soon as you have the opportunity to do tzedaka, do so. Achat ha-moitzei lecha, when you have achat ha-moitzei, as soon as you have a neem available, u'motzi lecha, and you have money, v'aytch b'yotcha, and you have the ability to give that money. V'af shlema am b'chachmasai, and so did Shlema Melech say, z'chaz b'rech b'meiv b'churesecha, remember Hashem when you were young, ad ashala yivoyu yimei ra, until the difficult days come. What are they? Eil yimei azika, where you don't have the same strength as you had when you were young. V'gi yushonim sh'tayma ein l'bam chayfetz, there will be a time that comes that you'll say that I don't have any interest in anymore. Eilu yimei Mashiach, that refers to the times of Mashiach. Shem b'em lois chus v'leichoiva. When Mashiach comes, we won't be able to do any more mitzvahs and averis. When Mashiach comes, whatever it is, that's what's going to be. So I saw that the Chofetz Chaim used to say that people daven for Mashiach. So he says, a marshal. He says there was a person who was in a business, he was selling whatever merchandise, and he was concerned that the price would go down. So they told him, why should you be upset if the price of something goes down? If it goes down, then you'll be able to sell more. He says, yes, but if it goes down, I won't be able to make so much profit. So he says the same thing. While we're still in this world, we can make a lot of profit by doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. Once that passes, we won't be able to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. And that's why the days of Mashiach, as much Rav Cheskel Levenstein used to say, as much as we all daven that Mashiach comes, there's still days of Ein Libem Chayfetz. They're not necessarily perfect because I won't be able to do mitzvahs like I can when I'm in this world. Upigel the Shmuel, this brice that says that when Mashiach comes, we will no longer do mitzvahs, is in contrast to what Shmuel said. Dama Shmuel said, Ein Bein Olam Hazel Mois Mashiach, El Shibim Malchus Bavad. That when Mashiach comes, we won't have to suffer from the nations of the world. Shnemar, he says, Klo Yechter Evi Mekarev Oretz, and we will be able to still do mitzvahs when Mashiach comes. Tanya Belezer Kfar Oimer, Lo'el Mivakish Odom Rachma Midazu. A person should always daven that he should not get poor. Him Hu Loi Ba, because if he won't be poor, Ba Benoi. Ben Benoi Loi Ba, Ben Benoi Ba. Then maybe it'll happen to his children. Shnemar, Beglal Adov Azeh, V'tanit Be'er V'shmo, Galgal Hu Shechayz V'Olam. It's a galgal that goes in the world. Sometimes this person is rich, and sometimes this person is poor. But I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains this Gemara, that a person that's talking about Torah. And the Chasam Sofer, the Inyakov, says that what is poverty by Klal Yisrael? Poverty by Klal Yisrael is when they don't have, that when they're not Talmid Chachamim. So the Gemara says that if somebody is who ubenoi uben benoi talmid chachamim, then shuv ain't tire pesekis. Then the tire will not stop. So you should always daven. If you see that there'll be three generations of talmid chachamim, then there's nothing to worry about. Amar Rav Yosef Nakinen, Hait suvim rabbanon lo miyani. Talmid chachamim don't get poor. I asked the Gemara about coming Chazina the Me'ani. We do see that sometimes it happens. Answers the Gemara, Mis the Me'ani, Aduri Pescholay Mahadi. If they get poor, they don't have to go collect. What the Me'iri explains, because that's a very difficult thing to have to do, to go collect staka, and they never, Talmid Chacham never do so. Another pshat is that even if a person is very poor, if he's a Talmid Chacham, the people in the city will support him to some degree. And therefore, since the people in the city will support him to some degree, he'll not be as bad off as other Aniyim. So there are many Pshatim in this Gemara. Some explain that we know that Pesach Es Yodecha, when we say Pesach Es Yodecha in Ashrei every day, we have to have Kavana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give Panosom. And the Gemara says that if you don't have Kavanah the first time, when you say Pesach Es Yodecha, you should say it another time. So says the Gemara, V'hachim is the Me'ani, if we see that Talmid Chachamim do become poor, is because of Pesach Yodecha, the Pesach Pesach Lemahadr, they weren't careful to say Pesach Es Yodecha and repeat it to make sure to have Kavanah, and that will prevent you from getting poor. Another pshat that many mefarshim suggest is that a talmid chacham, that a person, even if he's baruch Hashem not poor, should try to collect stock and do chesed for other people. And if this person, a pischa daniel lemahader, he didn't go ask stock for other people, that's why his children would get poor. Another pshat that I saw is that we learned the Gemara early in our Masechta. The pasuk says, "Vayem munas itecha choysin Yeshuas chach mevdas yiras Hashem hi atzroi." And the Gemara explained that all the words in that pasuk refer to the different seder of Shas. But then the pasuk ends, "Yiras Hashem atzroi." If you have yiras Hashem, great. V'loy loy. So yiras Hashem is the Pesach to Torah. So what the Gemara is teaching us is that if he doesn't have that Pesach, if he isn't careful to make sure that he should have Yiras Shamayim, then even though he's a big Talmud Chacham, he won't have any Schosim to save his children from this Oynish. Amalei Rav Chiel Advisa, Kiyasa Anya, when a poor person comes to our home, Agdimalei Rifta, please give him some bread. So when our children will come, they'll give our children. Amalei, so she said to Mel Kalaitislei, are you cursing our children? Amalei, kruksiv, it's a pasuk. And the pasuk says, ki beglal adav hazeh, as we learned earlier, betanit be rishmo, galgalu chayz ba'olam. And therefore, we need to know that we should be prepared and thinking about this. Tanya, Rav Gamliel b'Rabbi Yoim, the pasuk says, v'nosan l'cha rachmim v'rimecha v'chirbecha, kol merachim al-abriyas, whoever has rachmanos on other people, merachim al-ab v'nishmaim, Hashem will have rachmanos on him. V'kol she'ein merachim al-abriyas, if we don't have rachmanos on other people, ein merachim al-ab v'nishmaim, then they won't have rachmanos on us v'nishmaim. It's critical that we should have rachmanos on other people. And therefore, what that means is, I saw that when one davens, he shouldn't just daven for himself. He should daven for everybody else. And if you want that your tefillah should be niskabel, kol merachim al abriyas, that if you think about other people, then they'll have, that if you'll have rachmanos on other people and daven for them, then your tefillah for yourself and your family will be answered as well. And in fact, I saw that the Rashi teaches us in Parashas Noach, Loinechtam Gzardinam, that the punishment of the Dar Hamidbar, the Dar Hamabel, was El Al Gazel. They didn't think about other people. And because they didn't think about other people, that's why they got that terrible Oynish. And the Schus of Noach and his family was that they were in the when they were in the Teva, they were busy taking care of other animals and all the creatures of the world. And because they had that midah in them, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanos on him. I saw that the Chark of a Rebbe says that somebody who has rachmanos on other people, when a person has rachmanos on other people and other creatures, then it causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanos on him. Because the malachim at that point tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at this person. This person has rachmanos, so you too should have rachmanos on him. I saw an incredible story that the Klaus Magareb said. He said that one year he spent Rosh Hashanah at the home of his great uncle, Rav Shalom Lazer Halberstam, one of the youngest sons of the Divrei Chaim. He says it was Rosh Hashanah in the morning, and he went looking for his uncle, and he saw his uncle was at the barn feeding the cows. And he said, that's what you have in mind, and that's what you're doing, Rosh Hashanah in the morning. He says, I was concerned that it was Rosh Hashanah in the morning. And obviously, everybody Rosh Hashanah in the morning is thinking about the tefillah, thinking about the Kiyush Shofar, and they're going to forget about feeding the cows. And we just learned in our Gemara, he said, the call of Merachim al Abriyas. If you have rachmanis on the Brias, merachman alav min shamayim. That's the way to get rachmanis. So I figured this is the best thing I could do to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on us and be mekabel at tefillos, berachman uberotzen.